We're studying the introduction to the book of Zohar, article Belaila de Kala, on the night of the bride, item 146. You can ask questions at cup.tv and selected questions will be aired live. Again, the introduction to the book of Zohar, Leil HaKala, on the night of the bride, item 146.
Let's try and picture ourselves sitting on the knees of these 10 sages, great sages, writing the Zohar. And we're the little ones sitting on their knees, they're sitting in a circle, talking about reciprocal revelations stemming or coming as a result of their connection atop the hatred that constantly reveals itself, meaning the revelation of the broken vessels and their correction. They reveal that in the Zohar. And we sit like babies, looking at them with our mouth open, not understanding what they're saying, but like a child, really wanting to understand what the grown-ups are saying. So let's depict ourselves that way. And also all of us want to be connected like they are, meaning to integrate in them.
146. While they were seated, Rabbi Elazar, his son, and Rabbi Abba came in. He told them, "Indeed, the face of divinity has come. This is why I called you Pniel, which is the letters of Pniel, face of God. For you saw the face of divinity face to face. And now that you know, and he has revealed to you the text of Benayahu ben Yehoyada, it must be a word of the holy Atik, Ketil, and also the following text, and he killed the Egyptian man. And that one, which is the most hidden, they said that he is the holy Atik." Commentary. This refers to the matter of the donkey driver who revealed the soul of Benayahu, son of Yehoyada, for which Rabbi Shimon called them Pneiel, the face of God. The soul of Benayahu, son of Yehoyada, is a level that is destined to appear at the end of correction. This is why they, too, experienced the covering and concealment of all the upper lights, as it is written here in the Zivug of the period of the sun in the time of the year, until we were awarded with all the lights once more. This is what Rabbi Shimon revealed to them, the verse of Benayahu, son of Yehoyada. He hinted to them that they have already been rewarded with the six verses of the heavens tell, and they are already in the six names in the other verses. This is so because while they attained the soul of Benayahu, son of Yehoyada, through that donkey driver, their attainment was still not revealed, since at that time they were in six verses, for they have undergone that path of miracles and tokens.
So all of us together are connected between us and are in contact with all the 10 sages.
But now the soul of Benayahu is openly revealed to them, as it was said, "And now that you know that it is a word of the holy Atik," and the following text as well. This is so because the soul of Benayahu, son of Yehoyada, is the circumcision of Atik, meaning the great Zivug of Atik Yomin, which they knew then as well. But you also know the following verse, that he killed the two of Ariel, Moab, and he killed the Egyptian man. All those verses are the circumcision of Atik, too. And that one, which is the most hidden, they said, meaning Atik Yomin, he is the most hidden. 147. This verse, "and he killed the Egyptian man," is explained elsewhere, meaning at another degree. "And he killed the Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits tall." It is all one thing. This Egyptian is that famous one of whom it is written, "very great in the land of Egypt, in the eyes of the servants." For he was great and precious, as the old man revealed. Commentary. That verse which Rav Himnona Saba explained, "he killed an Egyptian, a man of vision," is explained at another degree, according to the words in Chronicles, "and he killed the Egyptian man." And it is all one. The two verses are one, for it is written, "he killed an Egyptian, a man of vision," and it is written, "and he killed the Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits tall." Both are one, and it refers to Moses in different wordings. 148. This verse is studied in the upper seminary. A man of measure, it is all one. A man of vision and a man of measure are all one. Since he is the Shabbat and the Shabbat zone, as it is written, "you shall also measure outside the city." It is also written, "you shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight." Hence, he is a man of measure, and he is truly a man of measure. His length is from the end of the world to the end of the world. So was Adam HaRishon. And if you say, "but it is written 5 cubits tall," these 5 cubits were from the end of the world to the end of the world. Commentary. It is a seminary of the Creator. Rabbi Shimon said about this seminary, "I saw noble men, and there are few." There is a seminary below, which is a seminary of Matat. He says that this verse, which the Saba explained, he will explain in the upper seminary. A man of vision refers to the degree of Moses, of whom it was said, "there has never been another prophet such as Moses," as it is written, "in vision and not in riddles." A man of measure is also named after the vision, but the measure of that vision, since the measure of that vision is from the end of the world to its end. Vision and measure are akin to the Shabbat and the Shabbat zone. The Shabbat zone is the end of the measure of the Shabbat. However, during the 6,000 years, the measure of the Shabbat zone is restricted to 2,000 cubits. After the end of correction, the Shabbat zone will be from the end of the world to its end, as it is written, "and the Lord will be king over all the earth." And it was said, "a man of vision and a man of measure are all one," since it is the Shabbat and the Shabbat zone. It is written, "you shall also measure outside the city." And it is written, "you shall do no wrong in judgment, in measurement of weight." Thus, the matter of measure is the end of the boundary of the matter. Similarly, a man of measure indicates the end of the boundary of the Shabbat after the end of correction, from the end of the world to its end. It was said, "and he is really a man of measure." A man of measure means the owner of that very quality. In Hebrew, midah means quality as well as measure. That the quality does not govern him, but that he is the governor of that quality and executes it according to his will and desire. This was Adam HaRishon prior to his sin with the tree of knowledge. His length was from the end of the world to its end. He illuminated from the end of the world to its end as the measure of the Shabbat zone after the end of correction. These 5 cubits were from the end of the world to the end of the world, because those 5 cubits are 10 sefirot, which are essentially only Kachab Tum, who will spread from the end of the world to its end after the end of the correction.
It means that a man of measure means that he looks for the measure which is his self-nullification toward the Creator that exists in everyone. At that point, that is the point he is looking for, meaning the basis, the quality, the measure. Because the ladder stands on that point, and all of the worlds, all the degrees, they're built out of that very point, which is the point of concession, nullification, restriction, in which a person no longer belongs to himself, and he starts building the forms of bestowal of himself. Not that he takes them from himself, but all that the Creator gives him. He accepts it happily, and that's how it's built in him. That's a man of measure.
149. And in the hand of the Egyptian was a spear, as it is written, as a weaver's beam, which is the staff of God that was in his hand, engraved in the carved and explicit name in illumination of letter combinations, which Bezalel and his seminary, which is called Weaver, engraved. It is written, he has filled them, an engraver and a thinker in fine linen and a weaver. And in that stuff, the name that was engraved on all sides was illuminating in illumination of the wise, who engraved the explicit name in 42 bechinot, discernments or manners. And henceforth, the text is as the old man explained above. Happy is he. Commentary. The letter combinations for the holy names are called weavings, like a weaver who weaves the threads into a garment. The letters join and combine into words of the holy names, which mean holy attainments. It says that with the staff of God, which was in Moses' hand, those letter combinations of the explicit names, of the explicit name were engraved, which Bezalel and his seminary engraved in the work of the tabernacle. This is why the staff of God is called a weaver's beam. After Bezalel, who is called a weaver. A beam is like a beam of light, and the weaver is Bezalel, implying that the light of the letter combinations of the explicit name was as the light of the explicit name which Bezalel engraved. This is why it was said, an illumination of the letter combinations which Bezalel engraved. Before the end of correction, the staff did not shine on all sides, since there was a difference in it between the staff of God and the staff of Moses. It is written about Moses' staff, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail, and it became a staff in his hand. Thus it did not shine on all sides. However, after the end of correction, it shines on all sides.
We're not forgetting about the condition we've depicted for ourselves, that we're sitting on the knees of the great ones and we connect according to how they're connected.
It was said that in that staff, the engraved name was shining on all sides with illumination of the wise who would engrave the explicit name in 42 bechinot, since the explicit name that was engraved in the staff illuminated on all sides, as in, death shall be swallowed up forever. Hence it illuminated equally on all sides. And the light of the name that was engraved on the staff was illumination of Chochmah of the name Mem Bet. 150. Return, O precious, return, and we will renew the correction of the bride on this night. Anyone who bonds with her on that night will be kept with her all through that year, above and below, and will complete his year in peace. It is written about them, the angel of God camps around those who fear him and will rescue them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There are two interpretations to that, and both are true. According to the first interpretation, the day of the giving of Torah is illumination of the end of correction, when death is swallowed up forever and there is freedom from the angel of death. Hence, it is worthwhile to exert to draw this light in its time on the day of Shavuot. This is so because it is the nature of lights that they renew in their season, and he will be assured that he will complete his year in peace even now and will have freedom from the angel of death. The second interpretation refers to the actual time of the end of correction. Here, the meaning of will complete his year in peace will be that Malchut is called year, and out of the renewal of the lights of those who keep the Torah after the end of correction, he will be guaranteed to correct the year, Malchut, in full. This is so because the renewal of the lights of those who keep the Torah is called the night correction of the bride, who is Malchut, called a year. By that he will complete his year in peace, in the full perfection.
Correcting all the times, all the states, and this is how you come to the final correction. Questions?
Motlo. No.
Motlo. Okay.
I wanted to know, I didn't quite get, what does it mean to justify the Creator?
I believe you. But it's a good thing you feel that you don't get it. To justify the Creator, suppose, what don't you want to have? Suppose all the money, all your money in the bank, all that you have, disappears.
I'm already in minus, that's okay, I'm in deficit already.
Already in deficit, okay. Your motorbike, someone stole it, no chance of ever finding it.
Give me something else.
I really touched the innermost part of your heart. What else could there be? I don't know. And you have no concern about it whatsoever. You accept it. You go into your feelings, into what's happening there inside you. And inside you see there's rage and this and this and that. And it's all because there's none else beside him. He's the one who did it to me. Why? How? What for? And you bring yourself to a state where you thank him. That now you have an even greater reason to turn to him for. Even though you lost your motorbike. But for that one moment for which you can turn to the Creator with enthusiasm that you have a reason from your ego, it's worthwhile. It's not worthwhile for you to feel any kind of illumination that comes now, or revelation, even though that this revelation will not shine over you, will not shine over the pleasure that you have now, contact with the Creator. So it's a compensation, because, okay, the motorbike is not worthwhile. But because you turn to Him, what you get is that you give Him some kind of a contentment without anything back for yourself.
Okay, now I didn't quite get how to turn to Him. Let's say that something happened, all right, and a person wants to turn to Him and understand the reason for which he can justify Him. So
imagine, start from the end. The end is that I just want one thing. To feel, even though it's not the end. There's also self-gratification about it, but suppose. We have to nonetheless speak on our level for the time being. I want to feel pleasure as a result of thinking about Him, because I want to give Him, I want to feel good, like a beloved baby, like someone who I love, that I am constantly yearning to cause Him good. What can I add? How? Where? What does He want? What does He love? What could be pleasant? I want to make that happen. My pleasure is that He'll feel the pleasure. And even though that He won't know that I did it, that's not important. What's important for me is to give. What's important for me is for Him to be happy. Now the question, how do I bring myself to this state? Go backwards. And start developing it back to the state in which you are now. Build the path. Now, even though that you don't know the different stages on the way, you're confused, like this, like that, but at least to hold on to the final point. Imagine it. Depict it. Cleave on to it. And you'll later attain it. All the stages on the way, it'll reveal to you. Really new stages will reveal.
But that doesn't cancel the situation itself?
What situation?
Well, let's say I was beaten. I got some strengths. So I turn to Him, and I want to give Him contentment. How can I give Him contentment? And it's as if cancels that the state that I'm in.
That you're in. Right? Good. Suppose you look your motorbike, and you look like Job. You have nothing more in life. That's it. And then you feel that now I can be grateful. Ask the friends to pull this prank on you. No, not that. Anything but that. Too much. It's good to feel the limit. That's good. Say that to the Creator. We're not, you know, bumping into each other too much. Or up to a limit where a person can go and not beyond that. Everyone has that. And so everyone has his limits. Kids, family, I don't know, everything. It says that Job's suffering are beyond man's ability to bear, that it was, you know, never happened.
That's a bit important. So they stole my motorbike, I thank the Creator, and I justify Him. Now what?
Out of your sleeve.
But there's another sleeve corresponding to that sleeve. I start searching for the thief. I start searching for the motorcycle. Doesn't that blemish that justification that I just did with the Creator?
You're asking about something else. You're saying, I did everything in order to carry this degree out. Along with it, the Torah, the Creator, gave us laws in this world that I must keep. Meaning I have to look for my motorbike. And then we have to punish whoever stole it. Maybe you'll come up to that thief and tell him what a great favor you did. Take this present. You really made me meet the Creator. You acquainted us. I'm ready to buy all Rolls Royce now. The Harley Davidson, whatever. Okay, so the Harley Davidson, but he has to be corrected, because the thing that happened to him was also in order to bring him to correction. Suppose he'll get some beatings. According to Torah, there is such a thing. Or a fine or something.
So in corporeality,
and the same with him, he should say, how great it is that the Creator gave me this thought that I stole this Harley. How good it is that I was just caught now and I have the ability to turn to him, to come closer. How excellent this theft that came from the heavens was great. Thank you, Moti, for finding me and bringing me to a court of law now.
So the thief should also have a point in heart.
Everyone should know. See, what beautiful thieves all of us will be at the final correction. Yes.
Throughout the depiction of the stealing of the motorcycle, I just want to see if I understood what you explained. There are as if two planes. There is the plane of what is happening in this world, in a corporeal world, and there is another plane of my attitude to the Creator following whatever happened. Now, I actually am constantly trying not to look at what is happening in corporeal reality, but to constantly examine my attitude to the Creator, following whatever is happening in reality. And then, on top of that, for that I think or I don't think, all that I relate to is that, to the attitude, to the derivative, not to what is actually happening in reality. Is that what we were just talking about now, or... Because for a long time we've been talking about my attitude to my attitude, and I have a hard time trying to find this point. And of course, we used to relate to what is actually happening in reality and not.
However much you grasp, that's what you have. Don't clothe in others and things that have to do with inner work. Delve into yourself. That's it. Enough. Really. Think about your particular state. Tess.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.